Hey everybody, this is Stu Smith for another Tactical Fitness Report, and I have a good friend of mine, Mike Taylor, who is the founder, owner, not sure what you call yourself, of Beaver Fit. We'll get into his business and what he does because it's fantastic, especially on the tactical fitness side. So first of all, Mike, welcome.
Stu, thank you for having me. Honestly, it's an honor to be part of this podcast with you. You're kind of the one that brought tactical fitness to the mainstream and have been doing it longer than anybody. So being able to hop on the line with you and chat through some different things is really exciting.
Oh, cool, man. Well, thanks so much. Yeah, you know, the term tactical fitness just popped up probably about mid-2000s. And I was like, man, I've been doing this for 10 years already. You know, now I had a name for what I did, because originally it was military law enforcement and firefighter fitness. Didn't really roll off the tongue. So, tactical fitness came up and we, got that baby done, real quick.
Yeah. We're off and running.
Yeah. So, yeah, we got a nice little system with the way we train tactical athletes, and it works. It's a way to train, not the way to train. So what I want to do is talk a little bit about your journey and how did it start off? I know you served for a while. Tell us about that journey.
Yeah, for sure. So I went to the Naval Academy, and I will say, as far as my journey to the Naval Academy, I tell folks I was raised in a locker room. You know, I grew up, you know, played every sport under the sun, you know, ended up playing basketball, baseball, and soccer at a pretty high level, and was always in that, you know, team captain type position, or, you know, class president type position. And I was actually exposed to the Naval Academy through my cousins that I grew up with in the same town. My older cousins went to the Naval Academy, and then another one went to West Point. So, you know, they were a few years ahead of me, you know, going through high school, grew up the same way, playing all these sports, and all of a sudden we're at these incredible institutions. And then, you know, I started getting recruited to play soccer, at the Naval Academy. So, you know, went through the whole recruitment process and visited a couple different schools. And, of course, when you visit the Naval Academy as a recruited athlete, they don't necessarily tell you everything that goes into it.
No. They sugarcoat it a little bit.
Yeah. They sugarcoat it for sure. And, you know, you stay with an upperclassman in his dorm, and you get to go out in cities and experience the town of Annapolis, which is obviously incredible. And where you made your home, Stu.
Good stuff.
It's an amazing place. So, you know, I was exposed to my cousins, and then really, you know, brought in you know, via the soccer team, and then, you know, showed up for plebe summer, and I thought it was learned a lot more about what it was besides my recruiting trip.
Yeah.
And then, you know, to be honest with you, the Naval Academy itself had an incredible experience on the soccer team. We were a really close-knit group with a coach, Dr. Greg Myers, was our soccer coach. I think he was probably the coach when you were there as well.
Yep.
And then we had assistant coaches with Greg Miranda, and Patrick Kennedy, PK.
Yeah.
So just a close-knit group, had a great experience on the soccer field. As most people that know that go to the academy, maybe in the hall, I wasn't the best performer. There was a lot of rules, and I struggled a little bit to fall in line with all those rules.
Yeah, it took me a couple years to conform.
Yeah, but you know, like everybody, you figure it out, and you ended up having just an incredible experience, you know, at the Naval Academy in general, and have a bunch of lifelong friends, a few of them that have started to join the Beaver Fit team. So it's been pretty awesome to bring some at Beaver Fit in general. We are, you know, about of the 65 people we have, we're over 80% veteran operated, and we're 100% veteran owned. So the other two founders of Beaver Fit are veterans as well. And we're starting to bring in some Naval Academy graduates to the team. So it's been pretty fun.
That's awesome.
As far as that journey goes. And then after the Naval Academy, obviously you get launched into the fleet. You know, I was designated a surface warfare officer, or a SWO. It was a tough decision for me. I almost went Marine Corps and did a bunch of the you know, leatherneck training and stuff like that, but decided to go the surface warfare route. And I think, as again, as a lot of people experience, you get that wake up call when you're out there in the fleet, and all of a sudden you're standing in front of your sailors as a division officer. And I'll tell you, for me personally, it was exciting because I felt like I was part of a team still.
Yeah. I would agree with that. That's a good way to explain it. Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously in your community, that's what you refer to yourselves as, the teams and stuff like that. And, you know, I got to the ship and, you know, had my little division and felt like I was part of a team, leading that team again. And that's how I always treated it. But for me personally, the surface warfare community wasn't quite enough. I had a lot of buddies that were Marines. And, you know, at that time, you know, the conflict in Iraq and Afghanistan was hot, heavy, and they were in combat positions. So I found out about this new community that was being reestablished, which was the Conventional Riverine Force.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The old brown water Navy.
The old brown water Navy, man. Yeah. And, I went to my CO on the ship and explained that I wanted more out of my service and how could I, you know, get closer to deployments in Iraq and things like that. And I told him I found this, you know, new unit that was standing up. And he said, hey, Mike, you get your qualifications on this tour that you're supposed to get on your next tour. I'll do everything I can to make sure you can, you know, go be part of that new community. So I buckled down and did that, and then got orders to Riverine Squadron 1, you know, and was one of the first 10 folks to report there. And that's where I met Alex Rudehouse. So Alex Rudehouse is one of the other founders of BRFIT.
Okay.
Alex and I were some of the first two officers to report to that unit. And it was interesting, Stu, and looking back, it kind of had a startup mentality. It was like we were starting a new business. And Alex and I talk about this a lot. And when we started BRFIT, it was like, hey, we've actually kind of been through this before. We reported to this unit. We didn't have any equipment. We didn't have any standard operating procedures or SOPs or you know, tactics or anything like that. We didn't exactly know how it was going to be, you know, task organized. So we sat down and Alex and I started working together because we were obviously junior officers, but we had a similar role in leading these kind of ground combat or insert teams. And that's when Alex and I first met, started working together, and we were writing SOPs, testing equipment that we were going to outfit our sailors with. And we had 1 year to train our sailors up, equip them with the stuff that we needed. And then our squadron deployed to Iraq to take over from the Marine Corps, who was actually providing security on the rivers in Iraq at that time. So it was honestly an incredible experience to be part of establishing that unit, training up our sailors and heading downrange to deploy to Iraq. And you know, after that, did some shore duty stuff. And then, you know, we're at that decision point. Now it's time to decide whether you're going to continue to serve and go the department head route or, you know, make that transition to the civilian sector. And decided for a number of different reasons. One of the reasons being that I would have had to go back and continue to be a surface warfare officer instead of remain in the riverine community. So I decided to end my active service and transition to the reserves and then go into the civilian sector. And was lucky enough when transitioning to civilian sector that got a gig that involved fitness and still working with the military. So I was involved in this fitness market and working with the military. And I met Tom Beaver, who is the founder of BRFIT, and he started it in the UK.
Okay.
And Tom came up his dad was a bridge builder. So Tom was always welding these small little walking bridges and stuff like that in the United Kingdom. And then Tom himself also served. He went through SAS selection as a reservist.
Damn.
And when he got out, he started welding up the CrossFit rigs and stuff like that. And I met Tom, you know, through the fitness industry and saw what he was doing. And then Stu, in 2012 at the London Olympics, if you remember, the security firm pulled out. It was the contracted security firm pulled out, and the UK MOD or Ministry of Defense was activated and tasked to provide security for the Olympics in London in 2012. And Tom had some relationships with folks there, and he was doing CrossFit rigs and stuff like that. And they reached out to him. They said, hey, we're going to be in London for 6 weeks, and we need a way to train. So they started, you know, brainstorming some ideas, and that's where they came up with what our core product is this shipping container that we convert into a gym.
Nice.
So it was trialed in the UK at the 2012 Olympics, and the feedback was immediately positive. Like, yep, this is awesome. This is what we need. And a little bit after that, in 2013, Alex and I saw that, and the light bulb immediately went off. It was like, yep, that is has an immense value to our service members that will get the strength and conditioning equipment out to the environments where they spend a lot of time training and operating or deployed. And it's this delivery mechanism, a container that we already move logistically a lot of stuff in the military around.
Sure.
You know, our comms gear, our ammunition, our weapons. So when we saw what Tom had done in the UK, we immediately convinced him that, hey, let's be part of, you know, bringing this to North America. And then the three of us started BeRefit North America. And, you know, from there, it's kind of been like a little bit of a rocket ship.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's a great story. And sounds like you got a great, you know, group of people to do all that with. So you're kind of just set for growth right now. So let me share my screen with you just to kind of show some of the people who are watching this on video what we're talking about. So this is your website, BeRefit, damn strong. Love that. Pretty fun. But yeah, you can see all these container ships, and they have these racks all hanging off of them. And I mean, they're just really cool things. I probably do this probably 5 or 6 days a week using the one at the Naval Academy right there on Hospital Point. I mean, it is prime riverfront property. You know, it is one of my favorite places on the Naval Academy is your hip box they got over there.
That might be hands down one of the best locations of any of our container gyms out there is on Hospital Point, that's for sure.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah, we use it quite often. But yeah, so BeRefit, now you have created this company, and you have an answer for people's problems. I mean, that's pretty much why we go into business, is you have an answer for people's problems. Yep. Where did you see, or where have you seen that moving forward for you within the military itself and with sales who's taken advantage of your product?
Yeah, 100%. I'd say in the early days, it was obviously the special forces, you know, teams and things like that that were the early adopters. They saw it, and they were already doing this sort of stuff. They were taking fitness equipment and they were chucking it in the container, and they were taking it in different places and stuff like that. And we just kind of formalized that solution into something that had storage for the equipment that properly maintained it, and then had the ability to attach the squat rack and the pull-up bars to the outside. So now you had a stable training area. So those folks were early adopters. The Marine Corps in their high-intensity tactical training program, again, early adopters, and they started dropping these in different locations, not only for deployed locations, but to expand beyond the walls of their facilities. Instead of having the service members have to go to the base fitness center, and it might take 15, 20 minutes to get there, they were dropping these container gyms throughout the installation so that sailors could walk 5 minutes down the road and get a PT session in.
So smart.
So we continued to do that. And now there's been a couple of just really fun advances in the product line. And one of them is to combine strength and conditioning or tactical fitness with tactical operations. So we now build rappel towers, close quarters combat facilities, obstacle courses. And the idea is before you're going to go and kick those doors in and go through the shoot house, you get yourself in a high heart rate environment. So you have your fitness equipment and your pull-up bars and all that kind of stuff right there integrated into the training area. And now you get yourself a little smoke session. And then you form up on the door and you go hit that door so that we can better simulate the tactical operating environment. Because, you know, we've all been in training, you kind of stand there and you wait your turn to go hit the door. But in operations, that's not necessarily how it happens. Mm-hmm. You're doing a bunch of different things. You're running around, you're sprinting, and you're pretty smoked by the time you go hit that door. So we try to simulate that environment with some of the tactical solutions that we're doing. And then what we pride ourselves in, Stu, and you even said solving problems for our customers. We have an incredible team at Be Your Fit, and we are passionate about listening to our customers. And the service members have the best ideas in the world. Yeah. And we are able, we have now a full team of, you know, sales folks and then product managers and engineers and fabricators that can take these crazy ideas that our customers have, take it from a paper napkin and then bring it to life. And, you know, take that paper napkin and then do a photorealistic 3D rendering in a CAD system and say, hey, was this what you meant? And seeing people's eyeballs like, whoa, yes,
nice.
That is what I meant. And then now having the fabricators that can then bring that to life for, you know, obstacle courses that are built based on mission essential tasks, or our newest product is what we call our shelter solutions. There's a lot of folks that require space to do this tactical strength and conditioning, but our military installations don't necessarily have space for that. A lot of folks are converting, you know, Humvee maintenance bays or things like that to build this space. And then there's some units that have the ability to do a brick and mortar facility, but that takes a long time and it's expensive.
Sure.
So what we have done is taken that container gym idea and now put the containers 50 feet apart and done a hoop like structure between them that provides, you know, protection from the weather and the sun and rain. And then we have the ability to also enclose the ends and climatize them. So we can build a 5,000 square foot human performance facility that looks like, you know, a D1 field house in 6 months instead of waiting 3 years to have it be a brick and mortar facility. And again, Stu, that's just us sitting there listening to the service members and saying, hey, I've got this requirement for a 5,000 square foot human performance facility, but I don't have anywhere to put it. And it's going to take me 5 years to build it through the MILCON process.
Yeah.
And, you know, we kind of iterate with them and came up with this kind of modular idea of how to build that facility.
Such a great solution. Oh, man, it really is. So, you know, there've been a lot of changes in the military with fitness testing. So fitness tests are no longer push-ups, sit-ups, and a 2 mile run that require very little, actually no equipment whatsoever. Now the combat fitness tests, whether it's Marine Corps or Army, you know, there are significant amount of logistics now involved in testing groups. So how have you answered that problem for the Army?
Yeah, it's a fun one. And I'm going to give a little bit of a backstory because I think it's somewhat interesting. So with our container gyms, we always had a bunch of the equipment that went with them. There was barbells, bumper plates, medicine balls, kettlebells, and things like that. And when we first started, we had various partners that we were taking their equipment and putting it inside. And, you know, as veterans that are passionate about, you know, jobs in the U.S. and things like that, we started to realize that all that stuff was coming from overseas that we were putting in our lockers.
Mm.
So about 2 to 3 years ago, we decided to go down the path to create a 100% USA made line of training equipment, where we make our kettlebells in the US, our barbells, our bumper plates, our medicine balls. So we started, you know, pulsing the industry and see who was doing this at different levels and stuff like that. And we were able to establish a US made supply chain for a brand of equipment that's fully Be Your Fit. And we called that Grayman Gear. We didn't want to call it Be Your Fit because that's like our sacred name for our steel equipment that we manufacture and make. So we started this accessory line called Grayman Gear. And Grayman is based on the Grayman concept in the military.
Sure.
When you're going through selection, you want to be the best, but you don't want everyone to kind of know you're the best. You want a little fly under the radar a little bit so that those drill instructors or the instructors aren't picking on you all the time.
And you don't want to be the worst.
Yes, exactly. So
you don't want to be last ever.
Yep. Yeah. You want to be right at, you know, third or fourth in position near the top. So that's where Grayman comes from. So we start this Green Man Gear line of equipment, and we start putting that into all of our container gyms and things like that. And then all of a sudden, as you stated, these new fitness tests start coming out. And the Marine Corps has their combat fitness test, or their CFT, and they kind of use their own equipment. They use, you know, stretchers and ammo cans and stuff like that. And the Army came out with the Army Combat Fitness Test. And like you said, they have to do a deadlift with a hex bar. They got to do a sled drag. They have to do a farmer's carry with kettlebells and knee tucks and all this stuff. So it created a huge requirement for equipment and accessories to start with.
Yeah, a lot.
And with government contracting, they have a preference towards U.S.-made equipment. So we're like, holy smokes, we just have this U.S. made supply chain of accessories. Now the Army has this huge requirement for equipment. So they did the whole solicitation process, and we were one of the two companies that was selected for the initial outfitting of the accessories for the Army to conduct this fitness test. So we're now making, you know, 18,000 hex bars and 18,000 sets of 550-pound bumper plates and, you know, 40-pound kettlebells and all this stuff.
Wow, that's a quick ramp up.
It was huge. And Stu, I'll tell you, I had a few beers on Friday, because on Friday we finished delivering the last of those 18,304 kits. So we had about 6 months to do that.
Nice.
And now what we're seeing is the soldiers are getting all this equipment.
They have nowhere to put it.
Yep. So they've got the equipment over in a warehouse, and then they've got their PT field, you know, a couple miles away where they need to do this new test.
Right.
So we are now kind of, we've always kind of had it, but now we're really focusing on a new line of storage, you know, solutions that is going to bring the equipment closer to the PT field. And then we always like to go one step further, because what we heard, the pain points from the non-commissioned officers or the NCOs that are running this test, is, hey guys, it takes us forever to get all these bumper plates out of the container and send them up and ready to go. So we came up with some simple and effective solutions for that. You know, the plate tree, we always stack your plates on it. We built one with little fork pockets on the bottom.
Oh.
And then we have a dolly. With little fork pockets on the dolly. So now you can take your whole plate tree, grab it with the dolly, roll it out of the container, drop it right where you need those plates. And instead of having a working party that two at a time has to, you know, take all the plates out of the container, and when you got 16 sets of 550 pounds, that can take a little bit of time.
Wow.
We have different ways where it allows those NCOs to quickly get their equipment in and out, you know, administer this test that is, it's a beast. It's a new game for these soldiers for sure.
No, it just sounds like such a neat one-stop shop of just great ideas that are just solution-driven products.
I think you nailed it. And that is, like I said, with our team, that is 100% our focus. And, you know, we've got folks that are familiar with being, you know, in those seats as veterans in some of these challenges. And we just try to listen and, you know, be solution-oriented.
Well, I love it. Do you have a significant law enforcement firefighter side as well? Is that I know sometimes their budgets are a lot less, obviously, but yep. How does that work with major city SWAT teams and, you know, things like that?
We're doing pretty good. I think you hit the nail on the head with one of the issues is that they don't always have the resources that the DOD does. And they're a bit decentralized, where you've got to pick them off one by one. We go to a lot of the events that you do with, you know, the Tactical Strength and Conditioning Conference and things like that. And what we're seeing is if we combine multiple elements of their training requirements into one solution, then we have the chief gets pretty excited. Because he's killing, you know, two birds with one stone. So the example would be is we have a solution for the fire community that we call our firefighter safety and survival locker. So on the inside of that, for the structural guys, we have an entanglement trainer. So we have an area of the container that is built out to simulate, you know, down wires and all that kind of stuff. And they've got to crawl through it with their gear. And then we have a breaching trainer. So we have a breaching door and on one side of the container. So they, you know, can practice their forcible entry and their breaching drills. And then on that same solution, they still get their fitness stuff. They still get their squat rack and their pull-up bar, but we're trying to provide more value to that specific customer so they can perform some of their tactical training requirements as well as meet their human performance requirements.
Nice. Now, how tell me if you will, what is your favorite one that you put together? Like massive effort. I mean, so many uses. Do you have one that comes to mind that was just one of those great ones that took a lot of mind power to put together?
I'm going to go with two. Like one of the things is with the Army in this new test and the scale. When we used to build, you know, 30 container gyms a month, and right now we're at a point where we're building 70 a week. Seeing the leadership we brought in to help us meet that scale, and then seeing the team come together to just operate like a well-oiled machine and pump those out in these very detailed steps and processes has been, you know, just pretty motivating to see the team accomplish that. So I'll say that's one. And then the other stuff, Stu, is obstacle courses. Obstacle courses.
I love obstacle courses. They're my favorite things to do. I probably run that Naval Academy endurance course and obstacle course once a week. I mean, it's one of my favorite things to do. Yeah.
It's a blast. And with our courses, we really try to base them on the mission essential tasks of that particular unit. So a lot of our courses are really starting with breaching doors. So that the first obstacle before you get to go in there, you got to earn your right. So you got your RAM tool, and you got your breaching door, and you got to hit that breaching door. And that's what, you know, gains you access to the rest of the obstacle course. And then we sit down with that particular unit, and we've done them for, you know, the 275 Rangers. We've done them for the Air Force pararescue community. And they're all a little bit different because those units have, you know, different requirements, you know, sure, in the operational environment. So we sit down and we like to design those for them. And, you know, we're working on an exciting project right now with the Marine Corps to, you know, they've got their baseline obstacle course that is never going to change.
Right.
But we're going through a process to standardize that because it turns out that those that were built years ago weren't all built to the same standard. Hmm. So we're helping them standardize that. And then also helping them, you know, build the next phase of that, like a future, you know, phase of after you complete initial entry training and you do all those obstacle courses, when you get to your unit, there should be more of an assault style obstacle course. So the idea would be as you go through all the obstacles more as a fire team, so team-based type stuff.
Nice.
And then when you, the final obstacle is actually a shoot house. So you kick in that door with your fire team and then you clear that. And again, just try to, you know, simulate that environment as much as possible. So I know that was a long answer, but
No, it's great. Very thorough. I love it. It sounds like
obstacle courses are by far the most fun.
I love it. Sounds like you got a hell of a fabrication team there as well.
We do. We say that one of our taglines is that we build what does not yet exist, and our fabricators don't necessarily love that because doing custom stuff and starting from scratch all the time isn't the most efficient, but holy smokes, are those guys talented and patient to, you know, work with, you know, our team and our engineers and bring everything to life.
Man, that sounds so fun. So tell me, you've always been kind of like on my radar, you know, especially at the Naval Academy. I see your hit box over there all the time that I use. But yeah, I think I first met you at one of the tactical fitness conferences with the NSCA,
yep,
TSACs, and then, you know, saw all your gear and just loved it. And where I got one of your shirts, love to wear that. You know, so, but I did, what also popped in my mind this week or last few weeks was your new acquisition or partnership with another company. Can you explain a little bit about what's new with Beaver Fit and this new area where you're going?
100%. So The company that we acquired is called Mobile Fitness Equipment. And it's interesting that they had a very similar solution to us that they brought to market around the same time. They had a container gym that opened on all four sides and the rack pulled it out from the inside. And I remember one of the very first trade shows that we went to, Greg Monaco, who's the founder over there, and his team were right next to us. And, you know, we were kind of on these parallel paths. And I guess, to be frank, there's a lot of like knockoffs in different industries, especially in the fitness industry. And
sure.
Mobile Fitness Equipment was certainly not that. They had their original solution. So did we. And we were on these parallel paths and always had a ton of mutual respect for what each other were doing. And then we were kind of growing and doing a bunch of different things. And we ended up on this contract with the Army called the Blanket Purchase Agreement. And we were both on there. And we were kind of fighting out different things on that contract. And then we were trying to partner with Greg for a while. Then all of a sudden he called, you know, Alex and myself up and said, "Hey, I've always respected what BeerFit was doing and how you guys treated people. I'm struggling to scale up and meet some of the demand that is part of this new contract. And I'm looking at potentially an acquisition via investors, but they don't have the right vision for, you know, the market that I do. And, you know, I love to, you know, figure out a way to be part of the BeerFit team through an acquisition and kind of latch on to you guys and, you know, have a shared vision that we can, you know, go after it with." And Stu, it was rewarding. We've always felt like we try to treat people the right way with respect to our competitors and stuff like that. And this was something that came back full circle.
Really
paid off, the fact that, you know, Greg thought of us to reach out in that way. And now we are, you know, acquired his company and his team has joined ours and integrated. And it's awesome to have, you know, someone like him that has this entrepreneurial spirit on the team. And then he's got this exciting product line that is, we're actually working on some new names. I think we're going to call it our Beyond product line, that allows you to expand beyond the walls of your facility. So it's a trailer, and it almost looks kind of like a livestock trailer or like a camping trailer. That you would, you know, if you're going camping, you got your beds and stuff inside. But this trailer, instead of sleeping on the inside, you store all your workout equipment. And when you open the, you slide out the doors, your squat racks and everything pulled out from this trailer. So we think, one, obviously it's going to allow us to expand our presence with the military. So now units can have this trailer and tow it behind them wherever they're going and not have to depend on one of our container gyms being at their end location. So it's going to provide, you know, solutions there. And then what we're really excited is to be able to serve what we would call commercial gyms. So like the Gold Gym and 24-Hour Fitness and, or, you know, the CrossFit gyms and stuff like that, and give them a tool that allows them to expand beyond their walls, engage their community and do boot camps in the park. Or potentially just have this outside their facility in the parking lot and run workouts and stuff like that. So couldn't be more excited about it. We think it really expands our presence in the military and outside the military, where we really try to focus on being an outdoor equipment provider and mobile equipment that, like I said, allows people to expand beyond their walls and train in different places.
Yeah, as soon as I saw that, I guess it was a press release or an article or something you guys had, and I saw who Mobile Fit was, because I had not really heard of them, and then I saw some of the gear that they have set up, like the tailgate pull-up bar, you know, I was like, oh man, genius, what a great marriage of you guys, because I tell you the truth, man, I see it not just on the commercial side, but the home gym. I mean, that's going to be a big segment as well, because I think people will be investing more in their home gym in the near future.
Stu, you nailed it. And obviously, you know, there's a lot of focus on that. And even with our U.S. made accessory line, there was the kettlebell shortage of 2020, right? Because, everybody all of a sudden needed kettlebells, because it's just such an incredible training tool. And a lot of that stuff was being sourced from overseas. So with COVID, that supply chain from overseas was slowing down and stuff like that. And we were lucky that we had a built-in U.S. supply chain. So We never really focused on selling that gray man gear to the end consumer. But now we were one of the only ones with inventory. Yeah. So we had a lot of people coming to our website and doing that. And then, you know, the other thing that's exciting and, you know, our focus is always going to be on the outdoor side of fitness, and not only for commercial, but for the consumer. And when we talk about outdoor, talk about the backyard.
Oh yeah. I love it. I mean, I can't tell you how long I've been working out outdoors. I mean, it's rare I'm indoors.
There's just something about, you know, maybe taking your shirt off and getting jacked and tan, we say.
Yeah, I tell you what, man, a set of pull-up bars and dip bars in the sun, you could go nuts.
Exactly. And what we're trying to do with some of our backyard solutions is even get out there and combine some of the kids' play features in there and have, you know, a swing set that goes with your pull-up bar and your squat rack. Or, you know, if we do one of our container or shed solutions, you can get a kick wall where you can throw the lacrosse ball against it, kick a soccer ball, and have this kind of piece of equipment that the family can go out together.
Oh, I love it.
And mom and dad can be working out and the kids can be playing. And then eventually as the kids get older, obviously they're going to gravitate towards, you know, working out with mom and dad and stuff
love
like
it.
That. So we're pretty excited about the direction that we're able to go when it comes to you know, getting equipment out there for people's homes.
Well, man, so 2020 can't be over with soon enough, you know, but how what's it look like for the next few years for you? Just continue the growth that you're doing? I mean, it sounds like it is near exponential right now. What's the next steps for you?
Yeah, next steps is just, I would say, continuing to be agile and listening to our customers. Like, there's some things that I said on this podcast that, you know, could be completely wrong. There's probably a chance that no one's going to want that backyard solution that combines kids play with fitness.
I don't know. Sounds awesome to me. I mean,
it does. It sounds exciting. But to us, the future of BeerFit is to continue to build out our team. You know, what Alex, Tom, and myself say all the time, our goal is to build the best team that people have ever been part of. That's my favorite interview question when we're interviewing folks is, what's the best team that you've ever been part of and why? I'd actually, if we got time here, Stu, have you answer that question, because I love hearing people's stories about, you know, teams they've been on and what made that team great. Because at BeerFit, we're always trying to bring those team members in, you know, learn and stuff like that. So I guess to answer your question, the future of BeerFit is continue to build the best team that you've ever been part of and be agile and listen to our customers so that we can bring solutions that really make a difference for them.
Man, I love it. I love it. I will answer your question.
Yeah.
And it's not a short answer, but I could probably do it in a couple minutes. Sophomore year of high school, I was fortunate enough to play varsity football, right? I got my ass handed to me that year. I mean, I was horrible. Didn't play, just was a beating bag, you know, during the practices. Right. The next year I was a junior. That was my best team ever. And I was like a defensive captain, you know, just night and day, just turned around. And we won some great games. You had some great seniors. But during the summer before that season started, we all worked in a watermelon field in North Florida. It was like 10 or 15 of us. And we just would pitch watermelons all day long, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., and then we go lift afterwards and go, you know, work out at the high school, you know, getting ready for football season. And, man, we were tough. I mean, I look back at, you know, some of my, you know, later on in life challenges, you know, whether it was Buds or Naval Academy or whatever, and I can really look into that year of just being the year that just made me a little tougher, right? And just made everybody around us just a little tougher. And it was iron sharpening iron every day. And, you know, so those guys still some of my best friends, yeah, to this day.
Awesome.
And that was a fun year. I mean, we did pretty well. We didn't win state championship or anything. I will say this. When we were seniors, We had 18 starting sophomores, okay, wow. on that yeah. team. So
yeah.
18 starting sophomores. We weren't that good that year. I think we went 5-5. But they won the state championship the next 4 years.
Wow.
So those were my best teams. You know, it was – I didn't get the opportunity to win a state championship. But, you know, they were – I was a part of it in a way, you know, so – part of
that. Yeah, I love it. It's that shared struggle that you guys yeah. went through on those yeah. watermelon fields. And it's funny how that just, you know, brings you together.
Yeah. So anyway, that was my best team. So I didn't mean to digress from our focus on Beaver Fit.
But, no,
that's a great question that you ask people, because you got to be part of a team if you're going to, you know, have a successful business, successful yeah. family, you know, for that matter. 100%. So yeah, man. I've always wanted to have you on here, especially after seeing what you guys are capable of making, and then of course after constantly using your facility or your box over there at the Naval Academy, you know, Hospital Point. So it's been a pleasure.
No, it's dude. Likewise, like I said. In the beginning, you were doing tactical fitness before, you know, being a tactical athlete or a military athlete was ever popular, and kind of defined that for folks. And like you said, now it's a whole industry behind it. And it's exciting to see that, you know, our service members and police and fire are trained like the athletes that they are. And,
yes.
You know, we always tell people, it's like, hey, you got to maintain your number one weapon system, and that's the individual operator. Because if you're not treating that individual like a weapon system and providing the same resources that you would for an aircraft or vehicle to maintain that that weapon system, then it's not going to be able to perform. And it's really exciting to see that not only in the special forces teams, but in the conventional side of the military, and also, you know, with our first responders, that the buy-in is there from the top down, and people are realizing the benefits of investing in those individuals. And I mean, honestly, even in the Air Force, on the AFSOC side, or Air Force Special Operations Community, they have now designated the individual as a weapon system.
Oh, it's huge.
So they get funding to maintain that weapon system the same way they get funding to maintain their aircraft and things like that. So it's just exciting. And obviously, it couldn't be more deserving for the operators to get the resources they need to train appropriately.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I love about it the most? I think when I first started, I was like, you know, the problem with people in the military, law enforcement, and firefighters is we just don't think of ourselves as athletes anymore. And we have to start thinking of ourselves as athletes. And this was before the term tactical athlete came out. But mm-hmm. I remember preaching that over and over again. And that just, that's where kind of where my writing went, you know, through that journey to trying to help people understand that we are still athletes, you know, and you got to treat yourself as such. Because I remember going to my SEAL team and was shocked at and this was 1992. You know, it was probably 6 years before that. I was in that team effort of working out at my high school, and my high school had better facilities than my SEAL team did for training.
That's crazy. Yeah, but it's the same. I mean, I think that story is obviously similar, and it's crazy. Yeah. And now it's just so motivating that you go in and these
it's world like, class now. Oh like my god,
D1 professional level facilities, and you know, one of our mantras that we do, because we now operate in both the fitness side and the tactical side, and what we say it's prepare, train, and execute. So you got to prepare your body first.
Yep.
So we say prepare, and that's where our human performance line of equipment comes from. And then you got to train. So on the tactical side, you got to train those tactical skills. You know, we have an air delivery platform and rappel towers and rock climbing. So you have those you know, tactical specific training stuff. And then it's all about that execution and what's your game day. And, you know, for the military folks, you know, game day is those operations, but we say that prepare, train, execute mantra is the same. If I'm, you know, getting ready for a mountain bike race, or a founder in the UK, Tom, he's big into these ultras. He's done like 50 plus marathons, and he has to, you know, prepare his body doing his weight training. And then he's doing his training, his runs. And then, you know, his game day now is at that start line. And how are you, you know, making sure you're ready to execute?
I love it.
So it's, yeah. Well, it's fun to be able to touch multiple.
I love it. It can go so many places. You're so right. I will say this, you're our first tactical fitness company. You know, yeah. that we've had on here. And I just wanted to share, you know, with the audience who actually listened to me, you know, that there are companies out there that specialize in the things that they enjoy and the things that they need. So I wanted to highlight you as well as, you know, as one of those companies. So
Stu, I appreciate that. And to the audience, you know, we love hearing your ideas. We are not the type of company that's going to sit in our conference rooms and try to come up with our own ideas. We take passion in listening to folks. So engage with us on, you know, the social media, you know, with our Instagram at, you know, BeRefit and BeRefit USA, and, you know, LinkedIn is popular these days. And any way you guys, you know, have ideas and give us feedback, we'd love to hear them and try to take your paper napkin ideas that ways you think that you can train better, or capabilities that you need to build out. We specialize in bringing those ideas and capabilities to life.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, because it's not only, you know, the groups or the departments, individual mission necessities, it's also their facilities, you know, what they have accessible to them already as far as space, you know, so it requires such a company, you know, because you're right. You can't build a facility everywhere you go and, you know, have it work for you the way you want it to work for you. You know, it's like I said, I love the fact that you're doing what you're doing. And I love the fact that I get to enjoy it as well when I do my perimeter runs at the Naval Academy.
Well, Stu, I got to get back there. Our headquarters is in Reno, Nevada. So yeah, we've got the whole team that lives in the Reno, Tahoe area. But nice. Definitely try to get out to Annapolis a few times. So we'll be in touch next time. And hopefully I can join you on one of those perimeter runs and, you know, stop off at the BeRefit container gym there on Hospital Point and get some PT in the middle of our run.
Love it. I love it. And I will try to make it out to Tahoe. I need to make it out there sometime too. So do something out there as well.
Stu, please do. You know, we'd love to have you meet the team. Like I've said a couple of times, we're majority veteran. I think we've got about 65 team members now, and about 80% are veteran or, and sorry to go off on this a little bit. Not only just the service members, we bring a lot of the spouses and even like kids that had service members as parents and stuff like that. You know, anybody that was connected to the service, you know, we take passion in bringing them into the team. And, you know, a lot of them, you know, feel like it's the sense that they're continuing to serve and have that sense of purpose that we had in the military. And I guess, the team that we have, I know I talk a lot about it, but it's the best thing we have going. And I don't know if I can talk like this on a podcast, but I always tell people that our team has a high give a fuck factor. I mean, we really care about our customers and our products, and we don't always do everything right. We've made a number of mistakes, but when we do, you know, have product defects or stuff like that, we try to go above and beyond to make it right for our customers. And that's because of that team and that, how much they care.
I love it. I love it. Well, Mike, hey, thanks for coming on, taking, some time of your day to chat with us. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And, I think people have learned something, pretty valuable about, you know, where to find the type of equipment you need whenever you have a team that needs to be trained. So
I dig it. Stu, thank you again, buddy.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye now.
All right.